yes, that time again, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on a cold, cold night. You know where you're at. No chaser. I'm JT. I'm the co-host. And as always, the man of No Chaser, the host of No Chaser, Mac Williams.
Man, I done got a demotion already.
Sorry about that, man.
Jerry is now taking over the show. It is now No Chaser with Jerry Taylor.
No.
No, I'm just playing. Welcome everybody for the week. I hope you guys had a great week. I mean, I've had a great week. Tired, but you know, I've you know, hard work. Nothing like accomplishing things in hard work. Man.
Exactly.
The first thing I'd like to say is you know, if you No Chaser is sponsored by Trinity Web Solutions. Please check out trinitywebsolutions.org. We have all kind of things, such as, you know, domains, websites, web pages, email. We have everything you need for your needs online. So please check out trinitywebsolutions.org. We were supposed to, ladies and gentlemen, have my man Corey Allman tonight. Corey Allman has not responded. So I don't know what to say about that, but we will go on. The show does go on here. We don't stop for nobody. You know, if he joins us, We've already texted him. I called him. He hasn't called in at all. So, the first thing I want to talk about with Jerry is, Jerry, what do you think about Floyd Mayweather's next fight? I mean, he has
with Maidana,
yeah, the guy who gave Broner a pretty good whooping. You know, so
gave Broner a pretty good whooping. Well,
yeah, he did. Broner and
Mayweather are pretty close. Am I not mistaken about that?
Yeah, they are.
Fairly close. Let me put it that way. Fairly close.
Yeah, fairly close. But it's funny because some people said, well, he did it just because, you know, Broner got beat up his man, and I was like, no, I don't think so. Because if you think about it, Marcos Maidana has only three losses. I mean, this dude he's beat some pretty good people. I mean, this guy, besides Broner, he's knocking people out. This guy is a very worthy opponent. I don't know if he's seen a fight other than the Broner fight.
Well, I think it's just the proverbial, just another walk in the park for Floyd.
No, I do too. But I will say that Marcos Maidana is going to try to knock Floyd's head off. He's going to try to do what he always does. He rushes in, and I'm going to just throw you with punches. I honestly believe, though, that this will be one of Floyd's. I don't believe it.
You think it's going to be one of his toughest fights?
Yeah.
Is that what you tell me?
I do. Yeah.
We had talked about this before. Let's just check this out. We had talked about this before, not this fight, but the prior fights since we've been on the air with each other that Floyd has fought. Well, Guerrero and I'm trying to think who else he fought, but the past fights Floyd has taken against Hispanic fighters, and I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it because it hasn't proven me wrong yet. None of these fighters have changed; basically, have the same type of style. And I've said this before: they come at you with this machismo. And they're just a easy target because they're not going to dance, they're not going to slide, they're not going to move. They're going to be right in front of you trying to do the same thing a lot of these Hispanic fighters try to do. is knock you out.
And, no, you're right.
And this is another guy that's going to stand right in front of Floyd with not a whole bunch of head movement or whatever, and it's going
right.
to be an easy target. He's going to be like target practice. So
the only thing that no, you're right. But the only thing that but the only thing that with a twist with this is that Marcos Maidana is very he's unorthodox. He swings from crazy. I mean, he's. You know how? Have you ever seen how you'll have this guy, this boxer guy that looks totally normal, that looks
mm-hmm.
great, and then he gets this crazy guy who doesn't fight traditional and swings from crazy ways and does things that are unorthodox and kind of makes the fight tougher than it is.
Sure,
so
absolutely.
I'm not saying in the later rounds. I think you know he's going to dominate him and get him. But in the beginning, he's going to try to do what he did to Broner, which is, I'm just saying, he has a crazy overhand right. Like, that comes
mm-hmm.
down. He doesn't swing it left or right. He swings it from over his shoulder and tries to come down on top of your head. I mean, it's just crazy. The angles and stuff that he throws, he just tries to attack you. And he's a hard puncher. He hits very hard. Now, his couple of his toughest fights, do I'm saying he's going to beat Floyd up? No. Do I think he could be somebody who could do some damage like Cotto did? He could. But, you know, as I said, this is one of those things where, you know, do I believe he's going to adjust and beat him? Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Broner and Floyd are like night and day. Floyd is not going to stand in front of Marcos Maidana and go toe-to-toe. He's not going to stand there and take punishment the way Broner did, stood there and just tried to out-punch him and took the shot and got knocked down. Broner, you know, it's not the same fighter. I mean, you know, you already know they're miles apart.
Mm-hmm. Sure they are.
I believe in the end, Floyd's going to give him a boxing lesson. But, you know, like I said, it's one of those things where I just think it's going to be a great fight. I think it's going to be a challenging fight. I think, you know, people wanted Maidana, I think, to fight him. Well, of course, you know, everybody wants Pacquiao, but I keep saying that fight. I don't think that fight's ever going to happen. And, you know, that's just me. I don't think that fight is ever going to happen. So, so that's it. But, you know, that's it with that. But I think that's going to be a very good fight. So May 3rd, everybody tune in to watch Floyd Mayweather. There is a fight coming up, I think, next week that is actually going to be a really good fight, which is Canelo versus, I think his name is Angulo. That's going to be a fight. That's going to be a straight-out slugfest. Them two dudes like to fight. I'm going to tell everybody tune in on the 8th. On March 8th to see that fight also. One of the things I do want to talk about that has really bothered me, and I don't know if people have seen, but I know I've been on Facebook, and today it just really got my goat. And I looked at ESPN this morning, and I about got sick to my stomach. They put this fool, Ron Dane, on the freaking ESPN thing. And now they're trying to make this dude out to be some kind of freaking superhero. And I'm reading the thing, and it's more like, are you got to be kidding me? You know, because last night he had 31 points in a win against, of course, Gunnett. And, of course, they make it like it's the second coming of Christ. But the thing that got me the most was that LeBron wore a black mask. This black mask. Instead of, you know how they have the clear plastic mask?
Sure, and absolutely. This,
he got a black mask looking like the freaking Black Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, the journalists and people who were writing about it were making him, they actually used the word like he's a superhero, leading his team to the, and I just about got sick. And I just said, you know what, this, you know, honestly, I just, on Facebook, I just said, this, you know, SHIT is just getting ridiculous. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, every time this guy does something, they find something. I'm telling you, you mark my words, Jerry, because the day it happens, I'm going to tell you. you mark my words, when LeBron James is done, they're going to try everything they can to make this guy better than Michael Jordan. You watch what happens. Mark my words. They're going to make him, they're going to try to make him better. And they're going to try to say he's better than MJ. You watch what I say, Minnesota. It's all said and done. You watch, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to say, Jerry, I told you stuff.
Well,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, what I'm thinking is this, man. The only way that he can be in the conversation is if he gets as many as MJ has. If he doesn't come close to that, or he eclipses that, then he can be in the conversation. Now, I will say this. I will say this. I think LeBron is a is better than Michael in being a all around basketball player.
No.
I believe Michael's a better shooter, but I think LeBron is a better. Well, I think LeBron is a better defender, man. I really do that because he can defend all four positions. He can't defend pretty much the number five, but he can defend the 1, 2, 3, and 4. Michael didn't do that. So I'm saying that LeBron's a. And I'm not saying he's better. I think the intangible of Michael is even in practice, he wants to he has that killer instinct. LeBron is different. That his killer instinct isn't as intense as Michael, and I don't think that. He can, at crunch time, consistently do the things Michael can do. But I think LeBron's the better overall gifted in being able to defend and play the game of basketball. But I think Michael's the better player, especially on the offensive side. You understand what I'm saying? You may differ, but that's how I feel.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with some of that. But I guess, Michael Jordan has won a Defensive Player of the Year award, and I understand that. The only thing, let me tell you this. I guess, I look at it as this one. Michael Jordan could shoot. Michael Jordan could shoot from the 3-point line in. He had an in-between game. He could pull up in the paint. Michael Jordan could get into the basket. He was very good in the half court. This is why I make my argument that he's not that. My argument about LeBron is that LeBron is a great player, don't get me wrong. But LeBron has a lot of deficiencies. But most people who are, if you're not a coach or if you don't know how to break down film or break down a guy, you wouldn't know it. For instance, and I say this and people laugh, and I've had one Heat fan, one diehard Heat fan admit to me that, you know what, you're right, I've seen it. But nobody really speaks about it. Is that LeBron can't dribble. Can't dribble. Nobody sees this, but he can't dribble. He only dribbles in a straight line. He can dribble on the break, on a fast break, but he never breaks his man down one-on-one and gets him out of the way, and he can't pull up a jumper except from the three-point line. If he's inside the three-point line or in the paint, he can't pull up like KD, and he can't pull up like that. Jordan could pull up like that all the time. There are other things in his game that are not the same. The skill set. When I talk about, I tell people all the time, I say skill set. When you're picking players, whether it's on the playground, picking people for your next, whatever, we all do it. We break down what can a guy do, what's going to be good with this, what can he do, what he can't do. But with LeBron, it's different. And I'm saying that, do I think that LeBron is a better defender than MJ? No, I think he's about the same. And I say that, because of this. Look at you, what makes LeBron great right now, and nobody understands this, is that he has help. He has a lot of help, and he has a system. That defensive system that they run is anybody, a freaking monkey could defend in it. Because it's a help defense. They break their neck. When they bite down, I'm not going to lie to you, when Miami bites down on defense, they're a problem. Give you that. But what I'm saying to you is that LeBron, a lot of LeBron's deficiencies in his game, in his skill set, are hidden because he has help. For instance, you can't break your hand down one-on-one. But why would you have to if all I got to do is pass it off to another guy and go reposition myself, and then I put myself in a better position? You've never seen LeBron break his man down one-on-one and pull up from anywhere out inside the three-point line. Rarely does he do it. He does it every now and then, but rarely. He only scores two ways, on the fast break or from the three-point line. Anywhere in between is not his plan. He doesn't do it. And a lot of times, if you notice, when people stand there, watch the next time somebody plays defense on LeBron and stands off of him. If he stands off of him and he can't put his hands on you and propel himself by you, he can't. Then what happens is he passes the ball and he repositions himself. For instance, remember when he broke his nose? When that guy broke his nose, if you notice, he didn't dribble to the beginning. He took one big dribble and hooked Ibaka and went by him and hooked the ball in one hand. Can't dribble. So here's what I'm saying. LeBron is a great player, no doubt. But the media, the NBA, the NBA guy want LeBron to be the face of the NBA, and they're going to do and say everything to make him say, even when he's not. Because nobody talks about LeBron James the way they talk about him now when he was in Cleveland, because he wasn't doing the things that he was doing in Cleveland. When have you known the last time? I'm going to tell you this. LeBron is the only player I've known in the last, I'd say, since Michael Jordan, that every time he does something, they find some kind of record or some kind of statistic that they tell you about. That's the only dude I've ever seen. Everything he does, they go, in the modern era, there have only been three players who have thrown the ball in three times in one quarter. And you're just like, really, dude? Like, you really going to really build this up? I'm telling you, and I put it on Facebook today, I'm telling you, I'm so ashamed of sports now. It's become sports propaganda. Whoever they want to tear down, they tear down. Whoever they want to build up, they build up. Whoever they don't like, they just figure they don't like. And I'm telling you. And then I laughed because a woman put on there the other day, a woman who's not even a basketball fan, put on there. She said, you know, it was the funniest thing. She said, I know LeBron, you know, must be a good basketball player, but why everybody hate him so much? And I'm like, and I told her, I said, it's because of the propaganda. He's not as good as they say he is. My thing is he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. A freakish size, I'm good with that. Big, can he jump? Absolutely. Is he a problem down low? Absolutely. But don't sit up here and make this dude like he's the second coming of Michael Jordan. I'm sorry. Michael Jordan did it all. There wasn't, I can tell you Kobe's one flaw in his game. He doesn't play defense. He's never won a Defensive Player of the Year award. He's won every award but that. You know why? Because he's not going to play defense. That puts Michael over him, plus the fact that Michael has more rings than him. Probably has more MVPs than he does, you know, whatever. But I can honestly tell you, now, 2 weeks ago, who was the leading guy who everybody said they'd get the MVP to?
Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant. Sorry.
Right. And as soon as here's the thing. They beat the Heat. I'm going to show you how the media buys it. They beat the Heat by 20 the first week. At their house, in Miami. Katie and them got credit, but not like they would have gotten if it was LeBron. Now, 2 weeks ago, what happened? They come to their house and beat them, not by 20, less than that. And all of a sudden now, Katie's a nice guy. He ain't tough. He ain't this. He ain't that. Now LeBron reclaimed his throne. LeBron is good. This is the stuff they're writing about him the day after. and I'm just sitting here like, you got to be kidding me. You're telling me that this that Kevin Durant went on a, what, 13 or 15-game streak of over 30 points? This is not against Jerry. This was not against, like, slum talent. This is against all the teams in the East and West. I can go back and show it to you. I'm talking about.
Sure, I believe you. I know that.
And I'm saying, he got credit. Don't get me wrong. I said, but you're telling me after LeBron been absent for almost half of the season, 2 weeks after the All-Star game, he has one good game, and KD has one bad game, and they lose the game to Miami. Of course, the same game that they have Russell Westbrook come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you're telling me now all of a sudden, oh, the team is reclaimed his phone. He's just, I'm just sitting here looking like, are you serious? Like, are you really serious? Like, this dude has been disappeared during most of the season. It's all been about KD, and now all of a sudden he takes it back. I'm not stupid. They're trying their best to give him another MVP, and I'm telling you, if Kevin Durant don't step it up and start closing it out, they're going to give it to him again. And it's ridiculous. And all I can say to you is this. Mark my words, Jerry. It's all I'm saying. Mark my words. If they don't win a championship this year, win or not, if LeBron leaves the Heat, I promise you, he will get exposed. When he goes somewhere else, you're going to see the real LeBron. And you're going to be like, wow, you said it. And I'm not saying he's a bum. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he's not as good as advertised. Like if you saw that thing on ESPN about the masked man comes in. I mean, they're writing like they're writing comic books. I'm going like, are you really sick? Like, I'm getting physically sick. Like, are you seriously writing this stuff about this guy? You trying to make this dude a superhero? Like, that's embarrassing. I mean, if some of the things they say about LeBron, I mean, Reggie Miller makes me sick. I mean, Charles Barkley makes me sick. And I'm just sitting here like, you guys play in the league and you're giving this guy everything. And y'all know damn well if this dude played in the 80s, y'all wouldn't be giving
him. Well, check this out, Mac. Now, you and I have both been around for a while. You don't think that LeBron is doing a little self-promoting when he puts on a black mask? You don't think he realizes that he's imitating a superhero look when he puts on that black mask? You don't think that was calculated? That all was calculated, and the media bought into it hook, line, and sinker.
Absolutely, and that's what I said this morning. I said LeBron fans and the media buy into this shit hook, line, and sinker. But I don't blame LeBron. I blame the media, the fans, and I blame the NBA because. Had LeBron, put it like this, let LeBron have said what he said about they're going to put me on a Mount Rushmore when I'm gone, and somebody's going to have to be moved off that Mount Rushmore. What everybody doesn't realize is you're creating a monster. You're creating a monster. You're creating
mm-hmm.
a guy, putting him up, and making him like he's something, and then when he leaves the Heat, everybody's going to be like, what the hell? And I'm going to be like, yeah, because you're right, he's self-promoted. You know damn well you couldn't have gotten that. LeBron could have never got away with that Mount Rushmore quote back in the 80s. Because you know Jordan would have been like, what? They'd have took him to task and would have whooped his tail. They would have did everything they would to whoop his tail. They wouldn't have let him get away with that. Sports writers wouldn't have let him get away with that. But it's like all of a sudden we're just delusional. Like now sports writers just say whatever sells, we just put it up there. And you're right, he's self-promoting. The mask is self-promoting. The whole tough talk about they're going to put me on the Mount Rushmore, you know, when is somebody else going to win a title when I retire? Dude, these folks that you're hearing are a guy who's 27 or 28 years old, and he's killing himself because everybody keeps patting him on the back and telling him, you're a superstar. You're this, you're that. And nobody's looking at the player looking at, see, I'm looking at his skills. I'm looking at what does he bring to the table. If you tell me, why would I take a guy? I'm going to just be honest. Why would I take a guy who can't dribble, who can't break a guy down one-on-one, who can't dribble through the defense and get all the way to the basket because he has no handle. He can't get through the defense without getting picked. Because he gets it all. If you get him in a court situation, he's only going to shoot a three, or he's going to, he might post up every now and then or whatever. Well, would I rather take the 6'11 guy who plays like a guard or a two guard, dribbles all the way through the through and gets to the basket, can get by anybody, can shoot?
You there, Mac? Mac. So it seemed like we lost Mac. Hopefully he'll come back. I don't know what's going on. It seems like every week this happens. Hopefully we can get him back. Mac, if you can hear me, call back. I know you're talking about LeBron, and this happens a lot. And let me see if we can get him back here. Hopefully a call back. For some reason, we lost him. And he's talking about LeBron and let me see if I can call him back here. See what happens. And let's see if I can get. Oh, I think he's back here again. Let's see if I can get it back. Mac, you there?
Yeah, live radio, man. Just went out.
I don't know what's going on, man.
No, it's just my phone. It's just, don't worry about it. It's my phone.
Okay.
But all I wanted to say was that, you know, I believe, don't get me wrong, LeBron is a great player, but he's not as great as everybody's making him out to be. And you're right. He is comfortable with that. When I saw the mask, I went like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. That's exactly what I said. I said, you got to be kidding me. When I saw it, I was like, it's a black Kato. I was like, oh my God. And you know Kato from the Green Hornet.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I'm just sitting there going like, really? And then when I saw the articles and stuff that were praying today, you know, and one of my friends hit me and says, you know, when I posted on Facebook, he said, you know, he got 10 garbage points in the fourth quarter. That's how he got to 31. It wasn't like he went out there and got. I said, I already know. I said, but this is what they do. You know, so enough about that. But, you know, I just, like I said, people need to be aware of media propaganda. It's out there. If you don't do research and you don't look it up for yourself, you're going to be fooled. You get more and more every day. In the political arena, I've seen all of it. So,
speaking of the political arena.
Go ahead.
Okay. Our esteemed Mr. FSP, Gardner, wanted me to bring this up to you and get your opinion on Senate Bill 1062, which was generated out of the state of Arizona. If you don't know what Senate Bill 1062, for the people that don't know, this is just a brief description of it. It's a bill that it's called the Freedom of what's the name of this bill? It's the Religious Freedom Bill, which basically is a bill that.
That says you don't have to serve people in your establishment for religious reasons. You don't even have to have them in there. You can refuse to serve them or whatever.
Yeah, that would allow state businesses to discriminate against gay and lesbian customers. Basically, that's what the bill is.
Is it state or is it a or is it just individual business?
Well, it said it would have allowed state businesses. So any business, not a state. Anybody in the state of Arizona.
Okay, that's what you were saying. Okay.
Yeah, state of Arizona to be able to discriminate against gay and lesbian customers. But, and it would be under the premise of for religious reasons, I should say. But, being as the state of Arizona has been very controversial in their stance and the intolerance or tolerance intolerance of anyone that's not of the Anglo-Saxon look, if you know what I'm saying. If they're, if you're not white, then that they seem like in the state of Arizona they have issues with it. And to hide, this would just be another thing to hide under religious freedom or religious beliefs. Now, it says against gay and lesbian, but who's to legislate that? You follow what I'm saying? So if somebody of Hispanic or African-American or whatever walks into the their establishment, they can deny them service because they don't believe in whatever religious reasons that a person like that should be served in their business.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Right.
So it's got broad-reaching consequences if it ever was put into law. Fortunately, yesterday or 2 days ago, the governor of Arizona vetoed that bill. And I think we have our caller on the line, our guest on the line. Let me bring him in here. Caller from 240. This Corey Brewer. I mean, Corey Allman. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, Corey, I'm going to kill you, dude.
Man, my bad, man. I've been sitting there messing with my daughter and lost track of time.
I'm going to kill you. I was like, well, the thing about it is we have a short show now because Jerry has to go at 7:45, and you just called in. I'm mad at you now. I'm like, dang it, now you called us.
I apologize, man.
That's all right. At least you called in, my man. At least you called in.
No, so. But this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do, Corey. I'm gonna have you on next Friday. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm gonna have you on next Friday, but I want you to stay on with us since you already here because we're talking about something. And you want to jump in? That's fine. You were talking about the Arizona. He was talking about the Arizona law that they had over in Arizona about not being able to serve gays and stuff like that. You know, for religious reasons or whatever. I'm about to tell him, so you can listen. You jump in if you want to. That's fine. That's cool. So. All right, you wanted my reaction to that. Is that right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my reaction to it. I don't believe in discriminating against anyone. If I have a cake business, whatever, and a person walks in the door and they're gay, straight, whatever, and I have a cake and they want to buy it, I'm going to sell it. Okay? And I told you before, my politics line up with my Bible. They don't line up with my personal reasons. They always line up with my Bible. That's where my politics come from. And as I've told you before, you can vouch for this, Jerry. I've always said that, you know, being gay or whatever, that's a personal choice. That's none of my business. I told you, I don't have to be down with it. I don't have to not like your lifestyle choice, but I can't treat you based on your lifestyle choice. God says you have to love and respect everybody. That's what he said, and that's how it is. So, do I believe the law was wrong? Yes, the law was absolutely wrong because you shouldn't discriminate. God never taught us to hate gays. He never taught us to hate black, white, Hispanic. There's no hate in the Bible. There's nothing in there that says you should hate so-and-so. Now it does say in the Bible that God sees gay or homosexual things as an abomination and as a despicable thing. But that's him. It has nothing to do with me. Because he told us to love one another, period. So for me, I don't believe that the law was right. I don't believe anybody should discriminate anybody for religious reasons. Now, I don't believe that. Now, do I believe that that's a veiled law that you can use to say, well, I believe God don't like, you know, I believe God don't like niggers, so I ain't letting you come in. Do I believe that? Do I believe that law is going to be used that way? No. Do I believe it possibly could be used that way? Yeah, it could be, because we're dealing with human beings. Do I believe that was the outset of it or a slippery slope to that? No, I don't. I believe it was simply to keep the gays out of their businesses who don't want them. Because there are, and I've said this before, and you can vouch for me again, Jerry, I've always said Christians' main problem is Christians. Our people, Christians, have a problem with the gay lifestyle, and they let it, and they say mean and vile things and treat gay people bad because of their lifestyle choices. And I don't believe that's right. Because if I choose to go out and live my life a certain way, I don't expect Corey, I don't expect you to treat me any different than what I do. That's my personal business. If I choose to keep goats in my house, y'all might say, Max, why are you keeping goats in your house? You crazy? They're nasty and they're dirty. But if I choose to keep goats in my house, guess what? We still go out and have a beer. We still gonna go out and you know, have a steak dinner and talk and laugh. I'm still gonna go watch Corey hoop. Corey's still gonna come and support me if I'm doing something. But at the same time, he's not going to treat me bad because of my choice. Jesus never said to do that. Jesus always said to love all of them. Jesus hung around robbers, bankers, thieves. So, not bad.
Okay. Well, we got a guest on here, so let's move on, because I want to be able to talk to Corey for a short time and give a tease for next week.
Hey, Corey. Tell them about it. What's the record at Rupp Arena, man? Tell them what you stamped. Your name is – I think I saw your name on the floor this past week when I was watching Kentucky. I saw your name on the floor. It was fine. Corey Allman, DC Snipes. So tell them what that was. What did you end up with that day?
37, 11 for 16, I think, from the three.
Mm-hmm.
It was
11?
Yep, 11 threes.
Yep. And he did that against John Wall, Boogie Cousins, that vaunted Kentucky Wildcat game. That was insane. Did you see the film on it on YouTube, Jerry?
He can ball. That's all I can say. He can ball.
No, I said, did you see the film?
No, I haven't seen the film. No, but I know he can ball. I've seen him play before. So
yeah. Corey can go. Corey, what are you up to now? I know you just came home. You had a daughter. Congratulations. You just had a brand new daughter, Jerry. So congratulations.
A brand new daughter. Okay, congratulations. That's a handful right there.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And I said, first child and a girl, he's done. I keep telling him, I was like, Slim, you ever want to know what it's like? You always call Uncle Mac, because I can tell you, I got a 20-year-old right now in college. I can tell you all the ins and outs, the phases that you're going to go through. Trust me. You might not have no beard left. I should get 18. You be sitting around with, what happened to your beard, man? Man, I tried to, man, whatever. So, congratulations on that, but can you just let everybody know out there, I know you came home from the D-League. I know you came back from, you were with the Red Claws, right?
Yep, I was the main Red Claws.
Okay. What's on the horizon, man? What you got planned, what's next? You got anything in the works or any place to go or anything like that?
Well, we're waiting right now. We're trying to get a couple of different deals done. It's kind of tough right now, just summer focus. It's towards the end of the season, playoffs and stuff like that. So most teams are kind of sticking to what they got that they had all season, and they're going to try to win, through the playoffs like that. But next season, we'll be looking at everything, Greece, Czech Republic, back to Morocco, everywhere.
Yeah, you go over there. I'd love to go over there because I think, and don't get me wrong, I mean, the NBDF is a nice thing, but it seems like everybody go over there and end up coming out of there, and I'm just like,
I'm done with it.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say because it seems like when you go overseas, once you get established, once everybody like you, you use the lifestyle, whatever, it's pretty much come home, okay, man, August, I'll let you, I'm gone, and it just seems like it's more steady, more steady. Everybody's overseas, like they have a home. You might move every now and then, but you always got a job. It seems like if you go there, you got a job, and I just think that's where you need to be. Because it seems like every time you start out in the NBDL, and then it's like, dang, Corey home again? Like, for what? I know it's a grind.
There's a lot of politics, you know, with the D League, just like the NBA. You know, it's a lot of politics. A lot of, like, our team affiliated with Boston, and we're the only team with Boston. And I mean, it's a lot of players Boston wanted to see. You know, at the time, it's a lot of minutes. You know, that was being played by certain players that, you know, whether they performed well or not, didn't matter. You know, that's who Boston wants to see. So, you know, main red cards pretty much got to do with Boston fans. So that's kind of how it goes. But, you know, it was a great experience. They're great. Maine and Boston is a great organization. You know, both of them are high class and all that. But, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, the whole D-League thing is over for me.
No, I get you. You got a daughter now, man. You got to get that money.
It's time to provide, you know, for the family. And the dream, if the dream comes, you know, great. I mean, it's a blessing. You know, that's something I didn't look forward to. I wanted, you know, since I was five, dribbling basketball in my grandma's house. So, but I'm not really worried about it no more. I'm not really trying to chase it anymore. You know, I'm really trying to just provide for my family.
I got you. And that's what overseas does for you. And I, like I said, you know, I see you doing things like what Chase do. Come home every summer, have some fun, get up out of here, go over to Greece and Spain, you know, Antonio. You know, we know all the guys that's overseas doing their thing. And,
well,
you know, you want a steady check. You want to be able to provide for your family and still do what you love to do. So, you know, I'm definitely praying for you to do that. As we get ready to get out of here, I just want to let everybody know on the radio that, you know, Corey is going to be back on me next week. I don't have a guest next week. So
I'm
going to
be on time this time.
Huh?
I'm going to be on time.
Oh, you're going to be on time because I'm going to bug the hell out of you this week. I'm going to be like Monday. Look, starting from Monday, just remember it. There's going to be a text that's going to say, all right, Corey, don't forget Tuesday. Don't forget Friday. Wednesday, don't forget Friday. And then on Friday, I'm going to give you about 5 or 6 text lights. Don't forget. But I appreciate you at least calling in. I just want to let everybody
know,
man, Corey's going to be back with me next week, and me and Jerry, and they'll probably be better, too, because then Jerry will have more time. He won't have to dash out like he does today to go to a fundraiser. But we want to really dig in. We want to really dig into who Corey is, how to get started, and more than anything, I just want to know what the regimen is, like what it takes to get to a level of a Corey Allman to be called a DC sniper. I mean, everybody I know who knows anything about you, I got people that ain't even in the DC area that know about you. That I've talked to in Ohio and been like, Slim, I've seen him. That dude can do it. And I've been like, you know about Corey? So anyway, we're going to do that next week. Excuse me, guys. Live radio. But anyway, Corey's going to be on with me next week. I'm going to have him on. It's a blessing to have him on. It's a real honor to have a guy like this on here.
Absolutely.
A guy that I respect very much. Man, I've seen this dude shoot when he got angry, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Hey, Corey, you remember that time when you got mad because you thought Miles didn't pick you up on the Goodman team?
I came in there one-minded. I came in there. No one was gonna stop me that day.
Jerry, if you know anything about Corey, pretty mild mannered guy. Man, Corey started hitting shots from outside the three and started bobbing his head, talking about, "Yeah, don't pick me up, huh?" And went down the
court. Okay.
Man, Corey is gone. So. It was crazy. That's the first time I ever seen him angry like that, man. I was like, Jesus Christ, I hate to see what happens if he really gets pissed off. He's hitting shots from everywhere. That was that was Goodman versus what you call it? What's the other
Watt.
Place? Watt. That was a great game, man. He was over there killing. But anyway, we'll be back on next week. Corey will be here next week. Jerry, get out of here. Go to your fundraiser. Corey,
yep.
Thanks for calling in. I'll get you next week. I'll get the advertisement done, and we'll put it on Facebook for you, Corey. And just tell all your friends and everybody to tune in next week when Corey will be on time. And with that, we are out of here, man. Everybody have a great week. Thanks, Corey. Talk to you later, man.
All right,
take care.
No problem.
All right.
Bet.